Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There is an ad running on radio that I haven't seen on television yet. Even though I don't listen to radio all that much, it seems to me that it always airs when I do. The target audience for the ad is those who work the graveyard shift. It is a prescription medication meant to treat shift work disorder. The prescription drug is called New Vigil. I had never even heard of that term before, shift work disorder. But it makes sense, given that many people who work the night shift often don't get enough sleep during the day when they are at home. So when they are at work at night, the sleep deficit catches up to them. But I have issues with the drug. When the body tells us we need rest and sleep, the manufacturer of the drug says, you don't really need it, just take the medicine and you'll be awake and alert all night long at work. I suppose that medication like that may be necessary for folks here. After all, this is an institution that requires a lot of work, whether as profs who need to read up and catch up with the latest research, or as students who need to be able to finish their assigned readings or turn in their assignments in a timely manner. As with many medications, this drug has its side effects. But unlike many other products where the announcer races through the side effects, this one is read at a normal speaking rate. She says, it may cause a serious rash or a serious allergic reaction that may affect parts of your body, such as your liver or blood cells, and may result in hospitalization and be life-threatening. If you develop a skin rash, hives, sores in your mouth, blisters, swelling, peeling or yellowing of the skin or eyes, trouble swallowing, breathing, dark urine or fever, stop taking New Vigil and call your doctor right away or get emergency help. There is more. She says there are mental symptoms caused by or associated with the drug. She continues that the side effects include depression, feeling anxious, sensing things that are not really there, extreme increase in activity, thoughts of suicide, aggression, or other mental problems. Symptoms of a heart problem, including chest pain, abnormal heartbeat, and trouble breathing. By the way, in the interest of full disclosure, I do not have such a great memory as to remember every word on that commercial. It turns out somebody else had heard it, recorded it, and posted it on the internet. That's how I got all the words. Now, all these possible complications just to avoid the body's need for sleep and rest, that's incredible. We all know that we need rest. That's why we go to sleep. And if we are not able to sleep, it affects our behavior sometimes. It may even lead to depression. You know that the doctors say we need about 8 hours of sleep in order to feel rested and refreshed. Now, we don't even have to know it intellectually to see our need for rest. Even though there has been a lot of research to prove the need for rest, God himself knew that long ago. All the way back to the creation, God rested after he finished his work. Now, this resting was not the result of exhaustion or to recharge or anything like that. He rested on the seventh day because he had finished his work of creation. In all the other days of creation, the account says there was evening and there was morning, the first day, the second day, and so on through the sixth day. There is no such closing for the seventh day. God has been very busy during this rest, taking care of his creation, sending the Messiah, and building his church. God has ceased his creative work, but he continues to save people, his redemptive work. When the time is right, Jesus will come again to take those who have heeded his call to enter his rest to be with him forever. Christ will return to judge the earth. He means it. Those who reject his invitation into his rest will never find rest. It will be like they are on new vigil forever. They will be awake and feel the never-ending pain of hell. To do anything well, we all know we have to have a plan for it. The presidential candidates and their advisors are doing just that because they know that it is exactly what we're looking for, a plan. We are looking for a plan that will bring the jobs back to America. We are looking for a plan that will send a clear signal to the rest of the world, especially the Al-Qaeda terrorists, that we will eventually get them. And yet, whoever we vote for, we know that their plans will change when they get into office. If not all of it, then certainly adjustments will be made to those plans. We ourselves also have our own personal plans, and ours too do not always stand out the way we had planned them. Yes, all plans need a little tweaking here and there, and sometimes a complete overhaul. But God's plan for people to enter his rest will never change. Because he is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent, the plan he has made for people to enjoy life with him is being fulfilled even now. He knows what we need, forgiveness of sins, and he has provided it for free. All who receive it enter into his rest. Now God had especially invited the Israelites into his rest by choosing them, finding a place for them in Egypt when there was famine in their land, rescuing them from slavery in Egypt, leading them and guiding them to the promised land. That was going to be their land of rest on this earth. Now God chose them, not because they were more numerous than other peoples, but because he loved them and kept the oath he had sworn to their forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. The generation that left Egypt had seen all the miracles he had performed in Egypt as well as in the wilderness. They had personally passed through the Red Sea when God parted it for them. God had fed them when there was no food, giving them water to drink when they needed it. He had demonstrated his almighty power before their very eyes. In spite of all that, they rebelled against him. They complained and they grumbled and even made up their own God, the golden calf, and they worshiped it with songs of praise and dancing. So God came down hard on them. All the people who were 20 years and older perished in the wilderness. But Joshua, who was of that generation, and Caleb as well, led the younger generation to the promised land. And yet, in that promised land, there was really no rest for them. They had to fight wars. And slowly but surely, they too became like the peoples they were supposed to have destroyed. They began to worship the idols there. They sacrificed to the idols there, with at least two of their kings sacrificing their own sons to the idol Molech. So even though the Israelites reached the promised land under the leadership of Joshua, the rest they expected was not what they got. To be sure, they had better lives now because they were no longer slaves in Egypt. But it was not perfect. So the writer of Hebrews says if Joshua had been able to give them rest, God would not have spoken later about another day. That other day of rest is the true rest that God has promised to all who believe in him. The promise of entering that rest stood at the time of the Exodus and well before then. It still stands today. That promise is so important that the author did not want any of his recipients to miss out on it. He encouraged them, he exhorted them to remain steadfast in the faith. He did that because in the face of persecution, they could have easily saved themselves all that trouble by simply renouncing their faith. Yet if they renounce their faith, the consequences will be too grave for them. The rest the author is talking about is eternal rest. To make that point clear, he uses the word sabbatismos, a hapax legomenon. That word has been translated as Sabbath rest, borrowing it from the Jewish concept of the Sabbath, which sometimes referred to the coming age. So the eschatological nature of his use of rest is apparent. yet the Sabbath comes every week. In other words, the rest that God invites us into is both now and not yet. Increasingly, people are questioning the Christian faith. And if you dare stand up for what you believe, some in the media, as well as some scientists, will ridicule you. Who knows where a hidden camera will pop up from, showing you standing up for the faith of the Bible. I don't recall who it was, but recently, probably 2 or 3 weeks ago, a U.S. congressman was ridiculed because he was caught on camera saying that evolution is a lie. Yet your claim as Christians is not only that this whole complex world was created by God just by calling them into being in 6 24-hour days, but also that all people of this world are in need of saving of the Sabbath rest, and that rest comes only by grace through faith in Jesus Christ alone. It is challenging for us to assert that teaching because there are so many people in our world today who belong to different religions. And sometimes it can be tempting to say that God cannot be so mean as to prevent them also from entering his rest. But Jesus has said what he has said because he is who he is. He is God. Always be prepared to stand up for Jesus. I mean, the real Jesus, not the one who sees no evil, hears no evil, and approves of everything we do. Lately, we hear some preachers say they are Christians, and yet they reject essential parts of the scripture. They are hailed for saying what the unbelieving world wants to hear. They are taking God for a ride. Such a ride will not end well for them. Jesus makes the way for us to enter his rest, and he keeps us there. Yet, he does not keep us there in his rest against our will. If we want to get out of his rest, we are free to do so. But if we walk out, then we will face the consequences, the extreme pain and unending suffering in hell. God knows our thoughts, and he knows our actions too. Nothing can be hidden from him. That is why the writer says, "For the word of God is living and active. Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight." Sometimes we say we'll do whatever it takes to make something happen. We mean it. But occasionally things happen and we are not able to keep our promises. Jesus Christ promised to do whatever it takes to have you share in the blessings of the Sabbath rest. He has kept that promise. He did it in spite of the temptation earlier on in his ministry by Satan to abandon those plans for you and just be content with being the Son of God. Through the Holy Spirit, he has brought you to faith in him. Keep the faith faithfully, even when things are difficult. And keep the faith faithfully when things are going well for you. For who will enter into that rest prepared by God before the foundation of the world? And who will remain in that Sabbath rest by faith? It is the people of God. And who are those people of God? It is you who gather around word and sacrament, believing what he has done for you and looking forward to the final fulfillment of the promised Sabbath rest. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.